It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
It's me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're broadcasting from Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios, and we have on the line Jim March and Jim Brakey. Now, John Brakey. John Brakey and Jim March are activists that are very important in one single respect. They've come from different philosophical motivations. They've come from different areas on the political spectrum. They've come from different focuses, activity in politics and activism, but they have overlapped in one issue. All of their efforts, all of their activities, all of their education, everything that they do with the public, everything they do in elections, politics, parties, doesn't mean anything if the elections themselves are rigged. If the results aren't verifiable, if they got problems. I first came in contact with John years ago after I had done my radio show here in the Valley. He's been on the morning drive. We were going Monday through Friday. We're racking it on. And I got a call from John after an election cycle. I think it was the 2004 election cycle. And he goes, "Hey, man, you have no idea all the problems." Yeah, I do. You know, listen here, just go to election fraud. You know, I call it vote fraud. And they keep correcting me. No, it's not vote fraud. It's election fraud. Because vote fraud is kind of like you're always blaming it on the voter. Election fraud, you're blaming it on the system or the state. So what they did is I said, here, go ahead and listen to these shows. And then after that, go ahead and give me a call and then we can talk. You can understand what I do and do not know. After that, he's like, "Oh, yep. You know, we're on the same page." He was doing a lot of research. And they followed through an election in Tucson called, I think it was RTA or something. It's about how much money we can spend on public transportation. I mean, you know, this is what goes on around the country. And these are enormous projects. These are, you're talking hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. And here in the Valley of the Sun in Phoenix area, they did the same thing, billions of dollars to get a light rail thing, and now it's a big money loser, and it doesn't have the promised, you know, participation of anybody using it and stuff. And it's just, you know, it was a moneymaker for builders, developers, contractors, and crooked politicians. We all knew this. But eventually it always has to wind up going to the ballot. So they can blame the people. People did it. They made us do it. Well, did they? Well, in Tucson, they tracked it. They wanted to use this election as a mechanism for following the process, and they did. The Democratic Party got involved behind this small group, Audit AZ. Now, the audit group run by John Brakey, they got deep involved in it. A lot of different people that were worried about the election process and how the machines were being used and the computer tabulation and all this started keeping records. Jim March is a, you know, IT computer uber geek that you need to go in and take a look at the computers and find out exactly how, where, and when they did it. And there's, you know, there's some paper trails in there. There's some computer code that shows what was done where or was erased. So they go through the process. They go to trial. And then the documentary was done called Fatally Flawed. Well, what we're going to talk about today is there's an involvement of the Attorney General right now, Terry Goddard, that used to be mayor of Phoenix and has run for governor several times, and he's running again. He's a Democratic, you know, main nominee, looks like, that's going to be the guy that's going to be going up against whoever the Republican nominee is for Arizona governor, and he was attorney general under Janet Napolitano when she left to go on to be head of the Gestapo. So, or the Homeland Security head, whatever the heck she is. So you can see here in Arizona how we got the big boys. I mean, this is, you know, you got Napolitano when she is governor, head up, and kind of, they were big time against us having manual validation here, which we did get passed with the help of a Republican conservative, Karen Johnson. When I was running for Secretary of State in 06 and then county recorder, which is in charge of the county elections in 08, this is a big issue of mine. In 94, I ran for Secretary of State when they were first bringing in all the computers and laws they were changing to make it illegal for you to ever compare the paper with what the computer said. So we don't think we know. We know. Well, there's a development that's come up. We got John and Jim on. I got you guys there?
You bet you do.
Yep.
Okay, now let's go ahead and start with Jim. Jim, tell me the significance of what the breaking news is, these poll tapes that all of a sudden have gone disappearing, and what significance that has and why now.
Yeah. Well, let me start with saying that there's essentially been three major releases of public records that we have pried out of these guys here in Pima County with basically legal equivalent of pair of pliers. Okay? This is public records litigation. The first round of litigation showed the audit logs that said definitely people are doing things illegal. What the audit logs showed was that they were printing out who's winning and losing elections up to 9 days pre-election that we can prove based on illegal stealing of data from the mail-in vote process before Election Day, essentially treating it as a zombie poll from hell. All right?
And so they were finding out what was winning or losing based on the early balloting that was being mailed in being done, so they already knew.
Right, start trickling in, you know, almost a month pre-election.
But they aren't supposed to do that. Isn't that like, that's like bad, right? They're not supposed to do that, right?
They're not, absolutely not supposed to tabulate who is winning and losing until an hour after polls close.
Okay, now this is my point. I want to make sure that I'm very clear on this. This just goes right to, you know, what I always say. Do they have the physical ability to go up to a machine, push a button, and have those numbers presented to them, yes or no?
They have that ability once
then
they start
are.
Scanning in.
Then they are. I don't care. I don't care what laws you have. I don't care what regulation you have. I don't care what.
That.
If they can, then they are. To think that they're not going to is just to be naive.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm telling you, they physically can do it the moment they start actually scanning the paper ballots. And that the current process is a week pre-election. It used to be 2 weeks here in Pima County.
Well, yeah, 1 year in 2006, that's the race between, Kyle and Peterson, that they started counting 12 days out on a Friday.
For U.S. Senate.
Yes, and that was a race that involved $29 million. And we, as a fact, know through court that they did print that result 9 days out. But we feel pretty confident because the computer operator was taking the data. Now, listen to this, Ernie. He was taking the databases home, and we proved that in court. And being that the case, he knew 12 days out. Can you imagine Super Bowl Sunday football scores? That you have maybe 100 different things on the ballot from all over, and you know who's going to win or lose?
Nothing shocks me anymore. Okay, there were three things that you said that were going on.
Yeah,
three
releases of public records.
Okay.
That was the first release, is that they were doing that wrong. The next release of public records, we got the raw databases of the vote tally, okay? The first time anybody in America had got full and complete sets of the what they call the central tabulator database. That's the records from the machine that tallies up the vote. So we get a hold of those, and lo and behold, we find that a whole bunch of memory cards from this same RTA election that smelled so funny were reloaded multiple times. At least 84, John, that we can prove, right?
And let me explain that a little bit, Jim. is that 85 were loaded at least one time, and it looked like upwards
hey, John, to John,
67 were played with.
John, you're over-modulating really bad. Back away from the mic a little bit and start over. What?
Yeah. There was 85 reloaded two times, at least, and total was about 160 that were loaded late because they had some kind of a breakdown on all the machines. Well, we think that's pretty obvious. If you ever saw the movie Hacking Democracy, Jimmy, explain the machine.
Okay, now let's go ahead. We'll hold that when we come back. Okay. Now, what they're talking about is they have memory cards that tabulate this stuff in cyberspace somewhere on a card. And, you know, if you're not a computer uber geek, you have no idea what how many times it's written over and replaced and changed. Do you got any paper to compare it to? They got it. Those go away. They have these. They look at it. They're overwritten. I mean, you need somebody like Jim March to tell us what's happening.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, just another talk show out of Phoenix. Here on Liberty News Radio. Here from Phoenix, Arizona. In the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. And we're talking about Arizona has been, you know, are we more corrupt than other places? I don't know. I mean, we got our share, but it's just highlighted more. I'm sure the same thing's going on everywhere around the country. It's just how hard you look. You know, where do you look? And we did a lot of the pre-looking, you know, back in the early 90s. I mean, we would actually, you know, go get our public access television credentials so that we could check out one of the professional cameras so that we could go to the county recorder and we can record their logic and accuracy tests and get behind the scenes and follow this through and do documentary. Get no government, we're going to learn everything. File lawsuits, go all the way up to the Ninth Circuit. I've been to all kinds of lawsuits. We just, you know, here we go. Well, we run for office, we make this a big issue, we follow it through, and then we have people with expertise, like John Brakey, with the support of the Democratic Party and the Libertarian Party when they needed it, and Jim March, which is a, I don't know, March, Roy, you're a Libertarian guy, right?
I'm an actual card-carrying Libertarian, yes.
And more anarchist than not. So we have, and then, you know, the big problem they had with Jim, and you're a tall guy. You're, what, 6'3", 4", or something?
6'4", almost 300 pounds.
So, yeah, so he's a big guy, and he came at this from the Second Amendment. You were working with the Second Amendment Foundation at one time, weren't you?
Well, I was working on the political branch of the Second Amendment Foundation, yeah. I was a lobbyist for CCRKBA, Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, which is the political wing of the allied organization, I should say, of the Second Amendment Foundation.
Well, see, the reason I bring that up is that was how we first started, you know, early in 2003 when I started having you on the show. And what happened was is you start to get, you know, none of this lobbying, none of this cultural awareness, none of this education of the public means anything if you're starting to find out, you start working with Bev Harris, Black Box Voting. I just had her on a couple of weeks ago. All kinds of stuff is still going on. And you find out, you're going, well, none of this matters if it's all corrupt.
Right, exactly right. I mean, I have not changed my opinion on the Second Amendment one tiny bit. In fact, I pack absolutely daily without fail. However, right now, the election problem is a lot more serious and more important to deal with than the gun problem right this moment.
Well, I'm of the opinion, the reason I bring this up is because I just got an email. I'm just checking my email, and I said, you know, it's going on about Sheriff Richard Mack has abandoned this one senator in favor of a competitor, and they're going on about how bad Sheriff Mack is because he's supporting this other guy, you know? And it's all in there like, well, you know, and he and all that. I'm like, so what do I say? I just send an email back, go, you're still voting? You know, I'm you're talking ouch quit it stuff. And if you're still voting, then you must have more confidence in the system than I do. So that's what I'm talking to John Brakey. That is like, no, you can't give up. You can't give up. You got to go in there. You got to fight. You got to, you know. And then Jim looking at the actual evidence of the voting from every standpoint of all the paper that's created, all the reports in the computer, all the memory did and everything. I just got to, you know, we'll get into all the details here on the show today, but I got to, you know, get to the bottom, let the audience know, should they be voting in this election in Arizona or not?
Well, they should. And that's, here's the thing. The more fair and legitimate votes that are in the system, the harder it is for them to game it.
Why?
Look, we've got to fight this tooth and nail. There's no question about that. But backing out from voting is a bad idea. Now, if you want to vote, the safest way to vote is at the precinct. No question. That is the safest vote you can cast, as opposed to the mail-in vote is pretty wide open.
Well, I keep hearing they say, "Oh, you need to do the mail-in so that it's on paper," and they get, you know. And then I hear that, you know, you do provisional ballot because then it's a hard cut. Then you got to do. I mean, so go ahead let's walk it through. We have the first thing that you got is the three things that we did. The first one was what?
So there's three separate public records that really mattered. There was the proof that they were stealing the vote pre-election. By scanning the mail-in votes, okay? So that was a bad thing. Then we find out that there's essentially certain precincts that got special attention on election night or thereafter by the elections agency. And what I mean by that is we've got precincts memory cards were read in multiple times. That's a pointer to problems.
But you erased the data before that, and only see, Ernie, what they did is it's pretty clear. They didn't back up the election on Tuesday night. Instead, at 10:15, they reloaded numerous amount of precincts, and then they continued doing that for 3 days. During this whole course, they should have backed up the database after every shutdown or twice a day, like they usually did. They didn't back it up until Friday.
So they just kept overwriting the data.
Right.
And correct. Then we know which precincts they overwrote the data for. Now, here's where it gets cool. The third and most important release of data has been we went after the poll tapes. And they fought us tooth and nail. Boy, they did not want us seeing the actual poll tapes from that election.
Okay, now tell me, define what...
that come out of the voting machines, okay, on election night, they're signed by the poll workers, at least in Pima County they are. We'll get to that. But these paper tapes are signed by the poll workers and contain a record of how many votes that particular voting machine took in. So they are very important. They show the state of the vote before it gets up to the central tabulator where it's childishly easy to hack.
Okay, now it's how many votes for each candidate or just how many pieces of paper were put in?
No. This is actually how many votes for every candidate is in those poll tapes.
Okay, now
my
they first question.
Want us to see those.
Okay, now my first question is why would I have any faith that the poll tapes were any more accurate than anything else without actually physically counting the paper ballot?
Well, here's the thing. Yes, it's possible to create a fake poll tape record. Yes, no question. However, it's much more difficult to fake the poll tapes. The easiest place to hack the vote in when it's a Diebold election system, okay, when it's Diebold voting machines, the easiest thing you can do to hack the vote, and by a long margin, is you can rig at the central database of votes, the central tabulator. And because that's so childishly easy, that's got to be seen as target number one. You follow?
Yep. Okay. No, that's where all the consolidation, instead of hacking each one of the individual machines, you just want to hack the one machine that counted all the individual machines.
Right. Not only that, but that's a much easier machine to hack.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
All right. So they created these poll tapes. You have the workers that sign off. It says, yep, it had X amount of actual ballots that were cast, and it gave a total of this is how much for each one out of this precinct. And later we can use that poll tape to compare with what the central tabulator said that this machine said. That's for a future if we want to audit maybe someday thing. So then that someday came, and they go, maybe we don't want those poll tapes out there.
When we finally got a hold of the poll tapes, John, what we find is 112 of them are missing. That's bad. That's really, really not cool.
112 out of how many poll tapes?
368.
Whoa, so a third at least.
No, I hold on 1 second.
Are your mic still on?
Whoa.
Yeah, no, well, we're going into the break. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence of Me, Ernest Hancock, John Brakey, Jim March. They're going to walk us through this. We got a lot to talk about, but I want to make sure that we understand exactly what it was that they gone through court, years of court, to get the information that demonstrated the election fraud. What was interesting was how hard they fought them, but then they got them. Now what? We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Got it.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. On the phone, I got Jim March and John Brakey. Now, let me tell you the roles that each one of these play. John's got plenty to say. We're going to get to John. But I need Jim to give us the technical framework to start. John, you get your chance. Just stay right there. Chill out for a little bit. We're going to get through with Jim first. Because what I need to understand is there have been a lot of developments of late that has changed. This has been going on trial for a long time. John, tell us all about that. But I wanted to get the news technically right now that they now have poll tapes that they've been trying to get that have evidence of what has been happening that you can look into memory cards, all this kind of stuff later. Well, what? Pick it up where we left off, Jim. I'm losing track here. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, well, not only do we have 112 outright missing poll tapes, we've got another 50 that don't match the reported results for their particular precinct.
Why?
I'm saying that the numbers are physically off between a particular poll tape. Well, there's very few things that could possibly cause that, and fraud is just about the top of that list.
Okay. So we have poll tapes that all of a sudden a bunch of them go missing. You start to find out that they're using the memory cards that come into these little Diebold machines. It's imagine you got a memory key that they pull out, then they take down, they plug it into the thing. Okay, now count whatever that little machine said the paper ballot said, even though they prints out a poll tape that, you know, it should match what that card says. So you go, okay, let's take a look at the poll tapes and see if it matches the little memory key. And they go, that wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. Years go by. You finally get them, access to them. You find out 112 out of 300 and something of the tapes are gone, and the ones that you do have don't match.
Correct.
Okay, so it
gets even worse.
Okay, keep going.
Of the ones that are missing, they are concentrated, not entirely, but they're concentrated among the precincts that we know got special attention because the memory cards were reloaded. So the memory cards that had special attention from the Pima County Elections Office, either late on election night or in the days thereafter, those are the ones where we find the missing poll tapes. That's beyond funky.
Okay, now the one thing, now let's examine these precincts that this happened in. Are they... were they leaning one way or the other? Were they higher volume of voter participation? Are they Republican, Democrat, or what?
I want to turn that question over to John.
Okay, John, what was significant about these particular precincts?
Well, on this ballot, there was a community called Oral Valley. And in that election, all of them were reloaded. And, of course, you know, shortly after that election, we had an election challenge because the election results were within 0.1%. And Brad Nelson, who is the elections director, got on the stand and he says, you know, state law is I can only count something one time. Well, it turns out that this community, Oro Valley, big development area, had 22 precincts. 18 of the 22 poll tapes are missing. 3 out of the 4 that are there have 34 extra votes, and the race was decided by 4 votes.
Wow.
Okay, and we don't know what the other 18, okay? And you know, it looks to me, we know as a fact, through trial, that the county hired a man named James Berry, is his name, and they paid him $75,000 to do analysis of the past 4 road bond elections that failed. And so basically, you know, you just couldn't do a clean flip or a hack in some places. You would manipulate, and we believe, because they had the cords machine to go ahead, reprogram the memory cards. Okay? Now, I'd like to step back, because I want to talk about my fearless Democratic leader in the state, Terry Goddard, about these poll tapes. You know, February 13th, you know, you remember a year ago, April, we had the recount on these tapes, ballots in Phoenix?
I remember.
Okay. On the 13th of February, okay, Terry Goddard gave an interview to the Daily Star, and he said Goddard's recount for curiosity not allowed, and that he doesn't chase wild stories. On the 18th, Bill Reisner cut a deal with the Treasurer's Beth Ford.
Okay, Bill Reisner, who's Bill? Tell people who Bill Reisner is.
Bill Reisner is our attorney.
Okay.
And he's done all 4 cases with us. And so he had cut a deal to go ahead and get the poll tapes. And so he wrote a letter and faxed it to Terry Goddard on the 19th. And the letter said that we feel that the poll tapes are very important and that when we receive these tapes to protect the chain of custody, this is all documented, that we would like to have his send an agent to work along with us. Well, as things turned out, the very next day, the treasurer's lawyer turned right around, wrote Bill an email, and he said, hey, you won't believe it, but Terry Goddard is going to come and take the ballots. Okay? And then on the 23rd, this man comes in from the Attorney General's office, and he comes in with a secret order from a secret judge to take the ballots. By the 25th of the month, the ballots left here from Iron Mountain, and we don't know where they were for 4.5 weeks, but they do finally show up on April 1st. On April 6th, of course, they blackballed me and Jimmy for any participation. They treated us like criminals when we were up there. They refused to do any forensic on the ballots because we know that they have a device called Ballot on Demand, so they can print a ballot instantly. And most important, we asked to have the poll tape checked because anytime you do an audit, you match the poll tape to the ballots. They refused to do that.
Now, see, because years, let me tell the audience, kind of paint a picture of what's going on here. Finally, they get to the point that there's enough evidence that it's pretty obvious to the local newspapers down there, the main newspapers, the media, talk radio, activists, the Democrat, Republican, Libertarian parties, everybody. This has been dragging out for years, and they're going, look, we need to have this stuff, you know, sequestered somewhere. We need to put it in a vault. We need to have sealed, you know, hard drives and everything. You're making sure that was one of the first things that they did, because they knew they were going to mess with them if they had a chance. So then you have the Attorney General's office, which is Terry Goddard. He's one of the politicos. He's benefited from the scumbag De La whatever since forever, and he wants to be governor, all right? So they go to the Attorney General's office and say, look, we need your help. You know, we need to make sure that this is done correctly. Well, we want this and this and this and this. All of a sudden, they disappear. He comes down, they're gone for a month. They don't know where they're at. Well, they're asking, look, we want, because it's been enough time, we can tell if these ballots, these pieces of paper, are the original. We can tell if they've been switched out. We can tell if they've been doctored. We can tell. We know. We got samples of the paper from blah, 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 blah. And they're like, oh, heck no, we're not doing any forensics on this. We're not, no, we don't, no, it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. So during this, all of these things that you know to look for in an election to determine the validity of this thing were not done. And it was obvious, and everybody knew it. But when you got the Attorney General doing it, who do you complain to?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. And if I could add one other thing about the press conference that the man had down here, Terry Goddard. He stood up. First off, the whole staff up there treated us like we were the criminals. We get down here. We go to a press conference, and Terry Goddard gets up and thanks us. This is necessary to do. And he said this, I'm going to paraphrase. He says, basically, we did such a good job, we found 67 extra ballots. When in reality, after we get his Excel spreadsheet, that he was missing 4 complete precincts. Pretty good, huh?
Close. he was close.
Yeah, I guess close enough, huh?
So now let's go back to Jim. Now, Jim, tell me, we had a few things. We had the poll tapes. We had the. Now, tell me how you know that these memory cards were overwritten. What do you look in to see that?
It's inside of the Microsoft Access databases we got as the second public records trawl. Okay, but again, let me point you back to John on this. John is actually a genius at taking these bloody databases apart. It's not that I'm the only techie in this scene here.
So tell me, John, how do you find that they, you know, we're kind of about a minute here, so you got to make it quick.
Okay, how is that when you reload the memory card, and when you go inside the database, it has a line called first ballot count. And when there's a 1 there, that means it was only reloaded 1 time. When there's a 2, well, it says second time loaded. And then the time sequence changes. And it's pretty obvious when it's 3 days later, they're loading, that it was loaded second time, and it matches up perfectly.
Okay, so what they're doing is they're going, all right, we're going to take this memory card, and we're changing the data on it.
Yes.
And then it has a time stamp on there. It was done 3 days after the election.
Yes. A little more.
Well, that's not good. So when we come back, we'll go there's more to this, so we need to get, you know, an understanding of, not because what we think we know, it's what we know and what the bad guys know that we know. It's just a battle for perception, you know, what's prevailing opinion, what's consensus reality. That is where the media and the parties and the bad guys come in.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, we got to break on through to the other side. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I got Jim March and John Brakey. You know, they have been for years. Got, you know, they're a bulldog, and they got some glutamus maximus in their jaws, and they're not letting go. And what we need to understand is how pervasive this is by looking at one single race. It was a, you know, multi-gazillion dollar thing. It was a very close race. What was the difference in votes? I mean, you know, win, loss, what are we looking at here, John?
It was about a 57 win and to a 40-something.
So, percent. Yeah. So, yeah. What we're looking at here is... nobody really had faith in, you know, the accuracy of this thing. I mean, it was the boys wanted it, and they're going to get what they wanted, and I've seen this before. So I'm going, okay, when you put up things like these big multi-billion dollar light rail projects or a water project, a lake thing, it's a football stadium, it's a basketball stadium, it's a hockey arena, it's a, you know, a theater, it's a government approved de la developers and contractors and builders that have been around for, they're all going to get their money, and it's all going to cost the taxpayer. Well, all they have to do is just, man, if they can get the right guy with the right floppy disk, then guess what, they're going to get their money. It's that simple. All they have to do is get it on the ballot, either by initiative, or they, a lot of times you'll just have city council members and so on, or county or whatever, will put it up. Because a lot of times there's fail safes in there a little bit. Nope, it's got to go to the vote of the people if you blah, blah, blah. And they go, yeah, sure, we can do that. So they do. So now we have a situation to where let's go ahead and follow this through. There's a lot of other stuff that we're kind of jumping to the end after all this litigation and the stuff that was you've gone through. There's all kinds of great stories. But recently, since the Attorney General's office did finally, after years of pressure from you guys, that you know, all of us have been just hammered on this thing, what happened is they go, okay, we'll go ahead and go get it. And they have no chain of possession records. And all of a sudden, for a month, they disappear. They come up. They say, yep, we did it. But they didn't do a whole bunch of stuff and certainly didn't want you watching. And you're looking for some forensics on actually what they were counting. Nope. And they came up with the result. And then you go, we want the poll tapes. You get the poll tapes. You start to find out you got a third of them gone. They're like, they're
24%
gone.
24% really.
Then you have another group that don't match what the computers said. You know, so you go, okay, so we got like double problems here. Then you get to, so go ahead and pick it up from there. What were some of the other more recent revelations?
Well, I'd say this is that really it gets back to Goddard. And because, this was twice that he did a cover up on this case. You know, he only took those poll tapes because we had a deal to get them. And they went into panic mode and that we'd have the access. But I think the most recent revelations is that we are filing for sanctions. Because, once again, this is the third case we've won. We have four cases. Three we've won now. Fourth is an appeal. And the fourth one was prospective relief. And what we're doing with the filing on the Board of Supervisors for sanctions is because they have spent $1.3 million about, Ernest, on stopping us from getting these records. That's a lot of money. So, and, their arguments in these cases have been so bizarre. You know, in their most recent case, when it comes to the poll tapes, they were saying that the poll tapes were equivalent to ballots. And they said that for 17 months. Most ridiculous. In the big case, when we got the databases, their argument there was, at first they said, well, gee, we have special codes, and if you get it, you'll know what they are. Well, said one of our guys turned around and says, well, are these the special codes? We get them off the Secretary of State site. So then they go into court, and this is just incredible what they said. This is, they turned around and said, gee, if they got the databases, there could be mayhem and chaos, and the Democratic Party or some party could make their own results and present them. And Bill Reiser, being the great attorney he is, he says, when he got John Moffitt back up there, he says, have you ever heard of being put on a rail and tarred and feathered? That is the most insane accusation. And then another case is that we were chasing the football scores, who wins and who loses, way out. And that's when that 2006 race. And, of course, their excuse for that was why we couldn't have them is because they were filed away in the ballot boxes and there was no way you could get at them. That's like if I shoot you, Ernie, I'm safe if I could take the gun and hide it in the ballot boxes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's three cases. The fourth case was the most important of them all. That case was to take all the evidence that we had, and we were asking for prospective relief to protect the purity of future elections. And the court didn't want to hear it. And prospective relief, the court has to look at the case is that these are facts that we're presenting. We don't care about the past elections, Ernie. We care about the future of protecting that purity. And we were shut down. And, we have to have a court system that when things like this happen, that we're able to go ahead and present our evidence. And if the court rejects that, then it's up to us to make sure that if they don't give us justice, as the old saying goes, we give them no peace.
You know, this is the situation that I want to get to this in the next hour. I want to finish the forensics on this first.
Yes.
Is there anything that if you guys are too close together, I'm getting an echo from you, John, on his phone. So you guys need to separate.
Okay, I'm going into another room.
The thing that I want to ask, Jim, is I'm looking at. Well, I want to follow this through. Where are we at now? What are some of the other things that you got released? I want to finish this up this hour because I got a bunch of philosophical stuff I want to talk about in the next hour because of this.
Well, those are
so far, by far the biggest revelations. John, what would you say is the other big things we found out in this whole crazy process?
About 41 anomalies that we are tracking. I'll probably pull them out because, you know, I'm just...
I don't need to know every single one of the little. That's not my point. My point is that you have the defendants. I mean, you have the county sitting there. They're freaked out. You got the county clerk. They don't want this to come out. You got the elections department there in Pima County. You got the county board of supervisors. You got the sheriff's department. You got the judges there. Now you got the attorney general's office here. You had the Democratic Party in support of you going on until they started to see how deep this went, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, we just want to be perceived as looking for the truth. We didn't actually want to find it, you know? So am I right in that? I mean,
yeah, you are.
That's kind of the impression I got.
It's been pretty tough on me because, you know, I am a Democrat and a lifelong Democrat, and you know, but one thing I'm starting to learn from you, Ernie, and other people is I've decided that I'm no longer insane. You know what I mean by that?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Being insane is, to me, is that when you decide that you have to vote for the less of two evils, and insanity is doing it over and over again and thinking that you're going to have a different result, as Einstein would say. That's insanity.
This is, when we come in the next hour, make, you know, a couple of things. One, don't speak so loud into your phone, it overmodulates. Two, don't be standing next to Jim, it echoes. And then now we'll have better audio quality. But my point is that in the next hour, I want to talk about the revelations, I mean, just from this kind of information that people that were adamant about making the election process accurate and truthful, transparent,
yeah,
verifiable. And when you have overwhelming evidence to both the public and the media that you have elected officials, law enforcement, everybody knows exactly what you found. In fact, you have a documentary, we'll talk about that, also called Fatally Flawed. I watched that documentary. I was very impressed with the message that came out in there. And what was so interesting to me was, you know, you always got, there's somebody's got to push the button. There's somebody that's in charge. There's the one guy that's the IT kind of, he got the green fees and the escorts. I mean, you know, whatever, for him to be able to, yes, and boss, I'd be doing what you say, where's my cut? And it seems like you found the guy. He gets in video deposition and he folded like a wet napkin. That guy was freaking, I wonder if he's lying, okay? And it was just so amazing. But the system protects people like that. The system is there to defend the system. And as we get further and further along, I came to this realization probably a decade before you guys did. But I'm just going, you know, what's the solution? Well, you know, how many minds can you free? We know the truth. Express yourself without, you know, by bypassing whatever. I don't count on the government computer touchscreen voting, whatever, to be my expression of what I want to do. If I count on that, man, I'd freaking go crazy. So I want to get in, you know, we'll get into some more of the details. We'll get into, you know, what we've come to learn. But I really want to see and hear from them how the political parties reacted. We had the Democratic Party. We had the Republicans that would come out for and against. We had the Libertarians involved in this thing. This has been a big battle here in Arizona for years. And it's well documented, and we're making sure that people understand what is happening. We're going to make sure you understand, too, when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Jim March, and John Brakey, from Audit AZ down in Tucson. You stay right there.